how did I get here? And now here is your host.
Hey, it's Johnny.
What is that? That's the worst Fat Albert imitation I've ever heard slash done. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. I hope you are doing well today. I'm doing pretty well. I'm getting my stuff together to go out on a trip to San Diego to go see my girlfriend for the weekend. She has an art show on Friday in San Diego, so it should be really fun. It's going to be great to get to see her and spend some time with her and run around a town I haven't really spent much time in. So I'm excited about that. I spent the weekend doing Skyrocket shows. We were pretty busy this weekend. We played in Austin Thursday, in Houston Friday, and in Dallas Saturday. And Sunday I came home and just kind of crashed out, went to sleep a lot, and watched a couple of movies. You ever seen Play Misty for Me? It's this like a 70s movie that was directed by Clint Eastwood. It stars Clint Eastwood. It's about a stalker and kind of Fatal Attraction kind of vibe. Super intense, man. Started young Donna Mills way before whatever that show she was on. And then, anyway, it was good. It was really good. It had 70s blood. You know, that 70s like kind of like bright red blood when people got stabbed. So it was a good movie. I recommend Play Misty for Me to everyone. My guest today has toured with Asleep at the Wheel. She's toured with Willie Nelson. She was, I think, one of the youngest people to play on the stage at the Grand Ole Opry. She played with Marty Stewart at the Ryman Theater. My guest is also only 17 years old. Can you believe that? My guest today, Ruby Jane. I don't know Ruby. I heard about her kind of through the years, and then my friend Todd Wolfson did a video for her, and I saw it. It was really good, and I loved the song. I loved her voice, and found out she has a new record coming out, and it actually comes out next week. And so I got in contact with Ruby, with Ruby's mom, who handles all of her affairs, and I went over to Ruby's place. We met outside of an RV. And had a little talk. We drank some iced tea her mom made, and we talked about her career and her new record that comes out next Tuesday. So check it out. Here's my conversation with Ruby Jane. Let's get down.
Hi. Song is for waking up. Everybody's always singing about love. To find a matching pair of socks is hard enough. This song is for waking up. This song is for running late to work.
And they have like 1,500 students from all over. And, you know, they all from all over the country and all over the world, and they all go to this online high school. And, you know, you have to, like, log into the classroom at 8:30 in the morning to 2:30. You know, it's like a regular high school.
It's like going to school.
Right, exactly. And it's based out of Lancaster. There's a real school that it's based off of. So every year, at the end of the year, they have what's called an end-of-the-year gathering. And you go, everyone that goes to the school can go and meet each other. And then all the seniors have, like, a cap and gown graduation and everything.
So
it was fun.
That's awesome. So you don't go to a regular school.
Right.
That's just...
I just take online classes just so
right.
I can travel.
And how, since you start at... Uh-oh. You know what? We might have
Is
to
that
put
fan
that fan...
Go?
Yeah, just right when it gets right here.
Okay, I can move it. Hey, Mom.
Here, I'll pause this.
Will you help?
So that was one of the things I was going to talk to you about, is if you're in school, then, you know, mm-hmm. Do kids treat you differently? Because you obviously have some sort of notoriety more than your average 17-year-old kid
right.
does. And it's not even some, you know, obviously, I'm assuming that the song Celebrity, Empire of Emptiness, you don't have a lot of, you're not a huge proponent of fame for just fame's sake.
Right, exactly.
And do you feel like that's, I mean, do you feel like there's a culture, mostly even with younger people your age, where I can't remember where I heard it, but I heard this thing that like they asked high school graduating class what they wanted to be, and like 45% or something said famous. But there was really? No, there was nothing behind it. They just wanted the...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I'm not against recognition and fame. I mean, obviously,
obviously,
I want to be successful.
Right.
But
there's something different between somebody like Lady Gaga and a Kardashian.
Right, exactly.
Well, Lady Gaga's actually doing something.
Exactly, and I'm a big Lady Gaga fan, but I think it's... You know, I am all for making a difference and wanting to be well known for making an improvement in your field, you know. And so I'm not against that at all. I'm just, like, songs like Celebrity and kind of a general message of that song and of the song 27 is just kind of the illusion of just, yeah, fame for fame's sake, and just the kind of the way that our society glamorizes these celebrities that haven't had any kind of impact on our world or made an effort to make any improvement, but they're just rich or beautiful or, you know, party a lot, you know, and we glamorize that, and we, you know, put them on billboards, and we care about their lives for absolutely no reason, you know. And not only the songs aren't only about that, but it's also about people that maybe are famous for a good reason or for music or for a purpose, but that get famous and then kind of lose themselves, you know.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the message of this album is kind of about staying true to yourself and realizing who your true self is. And so song 27 was inspired by the death of Amy Winehouse,
right,
who I believe was a wonderful artist, but got, you know, caught in the wrong things and lost sight of herself, you know.
Yeah. Do you have, so you don't, you know, obviously you're probably not like on a podcast if I ask you this question. Normally I don't talk to people who are 17, but so you're not like a weekend drinker, like partying out with the high school kids being bad. You're actually out working every weekend and
right.
Who do you hang out with? Like who are your peers if you don't go to school?
I have a lot of...
My guest is Ruby Jane. She's a musician. She has an album coming out. It's coming out really soon, right? Like next week?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's coming out June 19th.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay.
Who do you hang out with? Hang out with old people?
I hang out with all different kinds of people. I have a very interesting group of people. I do hang out with some young kids, or, you know, people my age. And I have a few very close friends my age, but I don't go and party with teenagers a lot. A lot of my friends are like in their 20s or early 30s, and I hang out with a lot of people in that age group. I hang out with a lot of musicians and people in the music business,
right,
you know, and I always end up, you know, forming circles with people that I work with,
right,
you know.
That's kind of what the rest of your life is going to be.
Exactly. And it's kind of inevitable, you know, when you have a band or you
right,
work with
that's,
musicians,
yeah,
that's who you hang out
yeah,
with. And then I also have a lot of friends from all over the world and all over the country. I mean, one of my best friend lives in Mississippi, which is where I'm from. And then I have friends that I've met traveling and touring that live all over the country that I go and visit, you know, when we're on tour.
You have like an adult kind of, your friendships are more like adult friendships, less like a 17-year-old normal.
Right,
kind of.
And I have a lot of that too. I mean, a lot of people that I know that don't live in Austin that I'm friends with are my age or a little bit older, you know. But, you know, a lot of the people that I hang out with that are my age too, I tend to gravitate towards kids that are talented and kids that are, right, artsier and that care about doing something with their lives, you know.
Yeah.
And I do have a lot of friends my age that, you know, that are smart and you know, make an effort. So I do hang out, you know, it's a wide variety. It always has been, but I like that, you know, I like being able to relate to all different age groups, you know.
Are you going to go to college next year?
I'm taking 1 year off. I'm taking a gap year for tour, cause you know, we're going to tour this new album, and then, you know, I'm kind of taking it year by year. At this point, I'm looking at, maybe taking some online college classes like at UT. We know a lot of people on the board there that have said that they'll kind of work with me with a schedule, you know, and they have an online department. So I'll probably end up doing some of that and maybe taking a few classes at an actual college. You know, I really, it's important for me to me to get a degree. Mm-hmm. So I don't.
What's your degree? What's your plan?
I really would love a liberal arts degree, just because it's just a really wide variety of subjects and literature and languages, and that's really what I love the most. So
right.
I would love a liberal arts degree, and I'm really interested in learning different kinds of languages. So you know, and I love Latin. I've taken 4 years of Latin. So, you know, something to do with literature and languages. And, you know, a lot of people would think that I want to major in music. But for me, I feel like I can learn...
to do something else.
Right. I feel like I can learn everything that I would learn in a school much better just by experiencing it, you know, and being in the music business.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. It's interesting to talk. Like, normally I'm talking to... I just ran into... Kevin Lovejoy, he said to say hi to you. I saw him at Flipnotic.
Yes, I love Kevin. I see him around here, actually, all the time.
It'd be funny if you just saw him hovering amongst the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this conversation when I saw him, and he walked in, and I was ordering my coffee. I've been friends with him since he was your age.
Oh, cool.
In 1988, we met, and we had a band. He had just graduated high school, so he was pretty much your exact same age. So he always had a lot going on, very driven. And I guess we had this old musician jaded conversation, which you're totally void of. Although you have done this for a long time. Should we go back to the beginning?
Okay.
So you're only 17. You were born in Dallas. You're a fiddler, a singer, songwriter, and a multi-instrumentalist. Tell me what are the instruments? Guitar, obviously.
Fiddle, guitar. Those are really my main focuses right now. But I also play mandolin.
Did you play mandolin on the record?
There's no mandolin on this album, actually.
Oh, then it must be like a capoed up high guitar or something.
I do a lot of different kinds. I do some electric on this album. Did you hear some high?
I heard something that sounded mandolin-y.
Okay, that was probably a capoed guitar.
That's right,
And then, you know, and I play a lot of mandolin sometimes in my shows live, you know, especially if I do solo shows. Like, I have a loop pedal and I can loop different instruments, and I do that.
Oh, yeah.
And I've played, in the past, I've done a lot of harmonica. I don't really do a whole lot right now, but I just got a ukulele that I've been playing with.
Yeah.
And then I play some piano. I've written some on the piano, and there's some piano on some of the albums. Not on this album. We had a professional play piano on this one. Kurt Covington.
I don't know.
Do you know the band Tribal Tech?
Uh-uh.
Okay, a very famous jazz band. Uh-huh. Jazz kind of fusion band, and he's the drummer from that band. He's very famous in the jazz world, and he just moved to Austin. But he's most famous for his drumming, but he's an amazing piano player. I mean, just top-notch piano. And he played all the piano and organ parts on this album. He just moved here from L.A.
All right. Okay, so those are your instruments. So mm-hmm. next... you started on fiddle. Fiddle was your first thing. You started when you were two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you want to do it?
Oh, definitely. Do you remember,
or did she know?
I do remember. The first time I saw a violin, and I started training classically when I was two, and I saw a video of Itzhak Perlman, classical mm-hmm. violinist.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't allowed to watch TV, but I was allowed to watch this video. I saw the video and just fell in love with the instrument and began asking my mom for a violin at that age. And I was just very insistent. And she got me like a quarter size violin, a very small violin. And helped try to find me some lessons. And so I ended up starting classically in Mississippi, which is where we lived, with us. Suzuki classical training method when I was two.
Right.
So, but it was always something that I loved doing. No one in my family really plays music, so it was just, you know, something I really wanted to do. And
yeah, and so then you got into it. So you were granted an apprenticeship under the Mississippi Arts Commission, by the Mississippi Art Commission to study under Charles T. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you then?
Oh, I must have been seven or eight.
How was that at that point? Did you feel like when you were hanging out with other kids, you obviously had this intense sort of drive and you were doing things that other 8-year-old people other 8-year-olds weren't getting apprenticeships or anything like that.
Right.
So how did that make you, like, where were you at then? Did you think you were special, or was it just regular life, or did you laugh at other children?
No, I think it's always just been so much a part of my life and what I've been used to that, and especially now looking back at that, I see what an incredible opportunity that was, you know?
Yeah.
But at that age, you know, I was obviously very interested in this older Appalachian style fiddler, but it wasn't really anything unusual for me. I guess just because I had always been so passionate about the violin, and then I switched more to fiddle music. And it didn't really feel weird or strange to me, you know. I mean, I was obviously grateful to be studying.
Did it feel like it was freer or like free, like, you know, there's more
the
freedom
style?
In the playing, yeah.
Oh,
because
definitely.
Because it's more improvisational and less structured and already written, and you can make up what you want. And
right.
It's not like when you learn a classical instrument, do they encourage you to write classical music, write some new classical music?
I don't think so.
They really don't, right?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to switch to fiddle music, because it would give me more freedom to explore different styles. And, you know, I really loved the instrument, and so that's the reason that I was playing classical, is because it was a way for me to play the instrument.
Right.
But I didn't love classical music, you know. It's so structured that's why I wanted to, when I discovered more fiddle music, I was like, okay, that's really what I want to do, you know, because that gives me more, I can still play this instrument, but it gives me more freedom, you know.
Right. Well, good. Okay, so then, but then you were still, when did you move from Mississippi? You stayed there?
We moved from Mississippi to Austin when I was almost 13. So.
Okay, so you played at the Grand Ole Opry, you're still living in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. What was that like? Were you aware of being at the Grand, were you like, whoa, this is...
Oh,
this
definitely.
Is, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was, I think that's probably the most nervous I've ever been. Well...
Was there a lot of people?
One of the most nervous things I've ever been. Oh, it was sold out. It was at, like, the new Grand Ole Opry, so it was, you know, huge, thousands of people. I don't know how many the place holds, but... I was scared to death, because I knew what the Grand Ole Opry was, obviously, and the first time that I played it, I was 9. And I was just, or no, maybe I was 10. I was 9 or 10. Anyway,
your bio says 10.
Okay, then maybe I was 10. I can't ever remember. Okay, but I knew, you know, I knew what the Grand Ole Opry was, and I remember the first time that I walked in the doors. I had never been there before, and I was so nervous, and I remember telling my mom as I, like, walked through the backstage doors. I remember saying, these are the doors to fame or doom. I was so serious.
You were even aware of that then?
Yeah.
You knew, like,
I was
if you didn't kill it,
right?
Well, you weren't going to be going through those doors
right
anymore.
In fact, I probably thought, I probably took it maybe too seriously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I thought,
if I disgrace this stage.
Yeah, I thought if I play here and I do really well, I'm going to be famous and everyone's going to know who I am.
Right, right.
But if I do really badly, I'll never be able to play again. Like, I took it so seriously.
Yeah. Completely unrealistic expectations on either side of it.
Right, exactly. But, you know, I went in and the guy that I was supposed to play with was, like, so sweet, and he took me on the stage while another act was playing, actually, and took me to the back of the stage, and he was like, because I told him how nervous I was, and he said, I just want you to sit here and look out into the audience and just take a minute and take a deep breath and realize it's okay.
Yeah.
And the stage actually felt surprisingly good. It wasn't, like, once I was out there, it felt good, and so then he brought me off the stage, was like, okay, are you okay now? And I, you know, so then I went back on and played, and it, you know, was much better.
How'd you do? I mean,
did you
kill?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah?
It was great. I think I played, like, a fiddle tune with this guy, Mike Snyder, that's, like, a country banjo player, and at that point, I was doing pretty much all bluegrass and, pretty much all bluegrass and swing and kind of stuff. So I think I played, like, a bluegrass hoedown or something. But everyone loved it, so it was good.
That's awesome. And so you played at the Ryman with Marty Stewart. That's a talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you won the prestigious American String Teachers Association Alternative Styles Award because it wasn't a traditional...
Oh, I forgot about that. I haven't thought about that in a long time. Yes.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Okay, so did you then record, it says you recorded with this Creekside.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your first record? Or what
Not
is that?
Officially. What is that? My first official album, which I would not recommend anyone listening to, but I recorded when I was 9. Mm-hmm. And I recorded it in Mississippi, and it's called Road to Columbus. And I listened to it about 6 months ago. I found one and I popped it in, and it's so funny to listen to for me. It's all like fiddle tunes and hoedowns, and I think I sang like one song. Traditional.
Okay.
And I think I sang like one song on it, and it was the first song that I ever wrote. And it was just like my little 9-year-old voice was just—it was so high. And
yeah, yeah.
It's really funny to listen to, but it's sweet, you know. So that was my first album, I guess. And then Creekside, I recorded when I was 11, and that we recorded in Nashville, with a professional producer and everything. And that's an EP, and I think maybe 2 songs on there are original. So still a lot of traditional songs.
And they're more country kind of songs, records.
Right. And there's like a swing song on there as well.
So so then what did you do after that record came out? Like, were you going out and promoting these records, or like, were you going out and playing a lot of shows at that time? Were you still in school, or were you on this internet school, or?
I started the online high school when I was in 9th grade. So,
okay.
But I've always been homeschooled. I've never been to an actual school. So I always, you know, at that point I was homeschooling with my mom. So we were taking school, you know, on the road. And we did a lot of traveling. At that point, you know, we were based still out of Mississippi, and, you know, we were taking a lot of trips to Nashville, and actually had a lot of interest from some record labels at that age. But they wanted to take me and kind of mold me into
something
more of a Miley Cyrus-esque kind of thing, which is not what we wanted to do.
No.
And so we were traveling a lot to Nashville doing that kind of business, but then we weren't doing a whole lot of touring at that point. I didn't really have a band together. The band that played on that album was all the Nashville studio musicians. And so I didn't really have a band together, and I was still developing and learning.
Isn't
that
weird?
And growing.
Like, you show up for your session, you're like 11, mm-hmm. and there's all these like grown-up people there.
And in fact, it was interesting. In fact, it was all girls on that album.
Oh, was? That's
and
pretty cool.
After that, I've never had another girl in my band. Not that it was a bad experience. It was fun for me. It was just interesting. It was all females playing on that album, and they were all hired by the producer, and they were all wonderful musicians. It was just funny for me because I've never really had another girl in my band before. It's always been guys, so that was funny. But it was very sweet, and it was just a new kind of interesting experience for me to have at that age, you know. And I wasn't doing a lot of touring then. I didn't do a whole lot of traveling touring until we bought the RV in 2007. And we traveled around in the RV for about 6 months, and then right after that is when we moved to Austin.
Okay, and so when you moved here, you started sitting in with like Johnny Gimble, Dale Watson, Bob Schneider, Bill Carter, Will Sexton. How was that? I mean, what was that? Was that like a different? That was very different than living in Mississippi, right?
Oh, definitely.
All of a sudden, you were going and sitting in with these great musicians and.
Oh, it was definitely a big change for me, and that's like one of the main reasons. You know, we just came to Austin originally just to visit for like a week or so, and then we ended up, the first night that I was here, I ended up going down to the Continental Club and talking to Dale Watson, and he invited me on stage with him, you know.
Wow.
That was like my first night in Austin.
Did you take your violin?
I did. I had it in the car with me, and thank goodness. And so that was like my first experience in Austin, so it was crazy. It was so different than being in a small town in Mississippi, and I loved it. I mean, immediately when we came here, you know, I started going around and asking if I could sit in with people, and then just started to be more familiar with,
like, hey man, can I play with you?
No,
did
I mean,
you have to ask
I
Bob
guess
Schneider?
I didn't.
What did Bob Schneider say?
Oh no, 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 no! I wouldn't do that. Actually, the first time I met Bob Schneider was I opened for him at Threadgills, and I was like my first official Ruby Jane show in Austin, mm-hmm. and I had like 2 musicians I had just hired. And, you know, we had rehearsed and everything. That was my first experience. And then I met Bob and talked to him for a while. And after that, you know, he invited me to start coming and sitting in with him. I guess when I say I would ask people if I could play with them, I guess I would do a lot of jams and things like that.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
how I kind of familiarize myself with different musicians. And
then people go, oh, you should get check her out, man. She's like this young kid, man. She can play. Yeah.
Well, exactly. And more people kind of began to be familiar with me. And everyone in Austin just was so open to me, you know, and that was so different for me because a lot of times people, you know, if they see some young, especially like some young girl musician, you know, they're not gonna like want her to play with them. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people aren't as open as Austin is. So it was just really great for me to come and just to be welcomed in, you know, by all these great musicians.
Yeah. Tell me about Ray Benson.
Well, Ray found me about 3 or 4 months after we'd moved here. And he heard about me, I guess, around town because I had been, you know, jamming and playing with these different musicians.
Right.
And he heard about me and sent this, like, MySpace message to us saying that he was going to come out and listen to me play because he was looking for someone to be in this musical that they do called A Ride with Bob.
Right.
And so, you know, of course I was freaked out when I got that email. I was like, oh, he's coming to see me.
He was a big
play.
Deal to you. You already knew who he was and stuff. Unlike most people that were in 8th grade or 14 or however old you were.
Exactly. And so I, you know, I was like, oh, I have to go practice now. But he came out and he saw me and invited me to come and be in this musical. And so I began traveling around with them and then from there began playing shows with Asleep at the Wheel. And then Ray introduced me to Willie, and that's how I kind of started playing some shows with Willie as well.
Wow. You're 17, you're playing with Ray Benson, you're playing with Willie.
It's been amazing.
I mean, did you talk to Ray? Do you ever ask him advice? Do you ever call him? And like, I mean, do you have Willie's number?
Do I have Willie's number?
Yeah, maybe you have Willie's people's number.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Now you can call Willie.
Well, yeah, but
I like
don't.
You feel like you could call Willie?
Yeah, I feel like I could, but I would feel probably weird bothering him. I don't know. He's still to me. I mean, he's
Willie Nelson.
He's Willie Nelson. And still, when you're around him, though, it's like he is like a grandfather. You know, he just has that kind of feel, you know, around him. He's not really intimidating in person at all, which I love because his whole Willie persona is exactly who he is. You
right.
know?
Yeah, it's not really
it's
a persona.
Not a persona.
It's a dude. It's a lifestyle.
All. But he's still Willie Nelson, you know, and so I still obviously respect him so much. And I'm so lucky to have been able to play with him, so it's great.
What's he like to play with as a band leader?
He's very relaxed.
What's gonna freak him out?
Right, exactly. He's not, you know, different people lead bands in different ways, you know, and some people are very rigorous about, like, you know, you have to play this exactly note for note, or we're gonna rehearse this a million times. Willie is not like that at all. You know, he's very, very relaxed, and I think I maybe have rehearsed with him once or twice, and then otherwise he shows up and everyone plays, you know.
Yeah, you know the song.
So, right, exactly. And I think he's very trusting of the musicians that are in his band, and when we play, you know, it's like a jam session or something. You
learn
so
that from him? Do you pick up that stuff when you go and play with these people like Ray and Willie? And
do I pick up? You mean the songs?
You know, tips, like, oh, this is the way that I like the way this guy does this. That's how I'm going to do that, you know.
Definitely. I mean, you know, when I think at Willie's level, I think he's able to hire musicians that he knows will be professional and will do their job. Like, for me at this point, you know, I don't think I could be that relaxed as a band leader. I mean, I'm very organized and very structured. You know, I'm more of the let's rehearse a lot kind of band leader right now. But Willie might have been that way as well. But then down the road,
like he was ever like that.
Really?
I don't
Maybe
know.
Not.
I mean, I wasn't around in the early days, but he just kind of seems like a...
Yeah, he seems like a let's wing it kind of guy. Yeah. And I love that. It's very relaxed, and it's a great environment, you know, to work with. So I do admire him a lot.
Right. So it says you got the acting bug doing the writing with Bob. Is that so? You got into acting? You were into it? What was it? How much acting did you do in the thing? Like,
I've done a little bit of different kind of acting. I'm not really... That's not really number one for me.
No, obviously.
If that ever were to come up, I obviously wouldn't deny it because it's interesting to me. It's fascinating. But I did some acting in the play, and kind of as the play progressed, like when I first started, I was mostly just playing. I wasn't really acting or singing or anything like that. And then as I began to work with the play more and more, I was able to develop and have a few more roles, you know. And it's a good, everyone does a good bit of acting, you know. Even if they're not the star of the scene, the cast in itself, everyone is in almost every scene, being an extra or being a supporting character or something. Because there's probably about 30 to 40 members total of the play.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big play, but a lot of scenes involve a lot of people. You know?
Yeah.
And so everyone is kind of in a different scene, and I got to do a lot of different and interesting roles. And in fact, I don't anymore, but for a while I was playing the 12-year-old Bob Wills, which was really interesting.
Oh,
they, you know, dressed me up like a boy and had me like in big old overalls and had my hair up in like a net and a thing. And I was kind of convincing. I think maybe the people in the front row realized I was a boy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had fun with that, and I, you know, I got to practice my boy voice and my boy walk, and that was really fun for me. And I got, you know, that was kind of fun acting. And I've done a couple of TV pilots.
I was going to ask you about that. Tell me about this.
Well,
would you go out to LA for pilot season?
I went out there specifically. The main pilot that I went out to be in LA was a couple of years ago, and it was a pilot for a TV show based around a recording studio in LA called Swing House.
Yeah.
And it was based around this recording studio and musicians that had come in to kind of be involved in the studio and that ended up befriending each other, you know? And so it was kind of a documentary, but it was, you know, a staged documentary, right?
Yeah, like The Office or something like that.
Right, and everyone was supposed to live in Los Angeles.
I bet that was a pitch. It's like The Office, but in a recording studio.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Go ahead, sorry.
Exactly. No, it was really cool for me. And they filmed so many pilots that ended up not getting picked up, which was fine for me. But I mean, I got that cool experience of being there and meeting. They had like all different kinds of musicians flown in for it. They had a rapper, they had a pop girl.
So you got the part.
Right.
And you filmed the pilot.
We
it just never got picked up.
Right, exactly.
Was it good? Do you see it now and go like, oh, I see why it didn't get picked up? I mean, was it like shoddy? Was it tested and it didn't test well or something? Do you know why it didn't get picked up?
I don't actually know why it didn't get picked up. It was really interesting to me, and it was filmed very well. It was actually filmed by a director that is actually dead now. Zalman King. Do you know Zalman King?
No, but I saw his name in your thing.
I guess we filmed the pilot about two and a half years ago, and he passed maybe 4 months ago. He wasn't in great health, but an amazing, amazing director. And he's actually really famous for erotica films, like 9 1/2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the director.
I didn't mean to sound so excited.
Oh, no.
But, no, yeah, yeah.
So he's very famous, but he was kind of trying to get into the documentary field.
Okay.
So that this was like his how I met him was he filmed a documentary on the Willie and the Will tour that I was on.
Okay.
He filmed a documentary for that, and that's how I met him. And then he said, I'm filming this pilot, come see if you want to be in it. And then, you know, everyone ended up working together for that pilot.
That's interesting. So when you went out on tour with Willie and the Wheel?
Right. Well, I've done some tours with Willie by himself and some with Sleep the Wheel.
What's that like? I mean, when you got on tour, did your mom go with you or you're just on your own?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, my mom goes with me. I couldn't go by myself. I think the first Willie and the Wheel tour, I was 15. Yeah, she wouldn't let me go by myself. It was fun. That was my first. I had done like small little jaunts with Willie or with the Wheel or with other bands. But the first Willie and the Wheel tour was like my first experience doing it was like a month and a half long, doing like an extended kind of tour. And everyone,
did you love it? You felt good doing it?
I did. I loved it. I really loved it. And everyone rode together. You know, there was probably 4 different buses traveling together plus vans and all that stuff. And so I got to be in one of the buses. But I remember the first day that I was on the road, I got sick. I got so sick. We were driving up to our first show, which was in like New Jersey or something, or it was like a big East Coast tour. I don't remember where our first show was, somewhere up there. And so we were traveling like long, long days, and I was in my bunk, and my bunk was like right near the back of the bus, which is the big smoking room.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. I was eventually going to get to that.
And there was like a gap in the between the door and the roof, and so the smoke would come through. Well, the smoke, I don't know, maybe I did, but the smoke would come through and get right into my bunk. Oh, and yeah. I got so sick, because I'm allergic to smoke. Well, not pot smoke, but cigarette smoke. But I don't know, I guess it was all mixed in, but it just got in my system. And I remember I was like one of the sickest I've ever been in my life. And so we ended up getting like a ventilator and a dehumidifier and like a mask for me to wear. So I was walking around the bus in my mask, you know, all these like older guys are smoking and this little 15-year-old girl's got her mask on.
Yeah.
It was a fun experience.
Did they make fun of you?
No, they didn't make fun of me.
They didn't have like a special name for you?
No, they were very understanding. I'm surprised that they didn't make fun of me. But
it seems like they would have, not in a mean way, but in like a, you know, big, you know, uncle kind of.
Well, they all... I've gotten teased a lot in my career because a lot of older people are working with me. But, you know, it's all fun, and they were just so sweet to me. And I remember, like, they had Wii going in the back, like, all the time, and I would go back there with them and play Wii. And it was a really interesting, that was, like, my first big on-the-road experience, and I loved it. So
it's a really great way to go on the road. I mean, my God.
Definitely.
Plus with legends. So then over the last year, or since you've done that, you've been doing the Ruby James show,
Right.
Sorry. I have a friend named Ruby James. Do you hate being, do you know her?
I do.
You hate her?
No.
I'm just joking.
I wouldn't hate her. No, it's interesting. We actually get, a lot of people have confused names before, because they're very close.
They are close. But anyway, so tell me about the Ruby Jane show. That's what you're doing these days.
Right. Well, it's actually not called the Ruby Jane show anymore. It's just Ruby Jane now. But the show revolves.
The show continues.
Right. Exactly. It's I mean, over the last year and a half, I've really been focused on my music and my style, and like just the music that I want to kind of give to the world, you know. And that's always been what I was passionate about. And I mean, I love the opportunities to tour with these bands, but you know, I never wanted to just be a fiddle player, you know. I always wanted to contribute my
own. But at least
music.
You have that, you know. And plus, that's always not even like something to fall back on, but something that you can, when you like, it's the same thing that happens with me when I am tired of pursuing my own interest, because sometimes it's so hard.
Right.
It's nice to be able to go and play in someone else's band and go on a tour and make some money and still be playing every night and be doing the thing, but it's not you, it's this guy's trip, you know, or their problem, as I like to refer to it.
Yes,
it's either a record or problem. So let's talk about this record. When did you make records after that? Wait, have I missed any? Am I jumping too far? I'm going from Willie right to this new record.
I did put out a live album, and that was just a live show here in Austin that
where'd you record it?
Roadhouse Rags. And I'm not sure, I guess they're doing shows again now.
I don't even know what...
They kind of went under for a while, but it's a cool outdoor venue. So that's where we recorded that. And then I also released another EP called Feels Like Home in 2010, late 2010.
Okay.
October of 2010 we released that, and that's just another 7-song EP, and that's a lot of original music as well, but that's a little more country than the new album.
Well,
so this is my first full length album.
And how did you get going on it? Did you have songs, or did you set out to make this album? Because this album seems like you're treating it a little bit more special than the other ones. Is it because now you're not in school and you're able to really go out and promote it, or you finally got to a place where, you know, you've made an album that you really think can...
Right. It's more of that. Okay. I mean, I made this album when I was still in high school, and...
When did you graduate? Last week?
Last week.
Yeah, okay.
And we made this album from January to March is when we were recording this.
And you did it here?
We recorded it at Cedar Creek Studios here in Austin. And this album really is special because it's really the first time that I feel like my music is ready to be presented. You know, this is kind of like a debut album for me. You know,
okay,
I've been growing and I've been developing up until this point. But now I really feel like the voice and the songs and the style has kind of come together. You know, so it's not so much about playing covers or playing fiddle tunes or anything like that anymore. It's more about
the songs,
right? The songs and
there's a focus to the
right, and it's more about the artist. You know, the artist, and obviously fiddle and violin, that will obviously be a forefront to all of my music. But the songs and the voice and all of it's kind of coming together to be a really creating a sound,
Ruby Jane's sound. Opposed to, hey, look, this kid can really burn on a fiddle.
Right, exactly.
This is like, hey, check out the new Ruby Jane album.
Right.
Yeah, I get that from that album. Let me ask you a question. So I'm a huge fan of this band, and when I heard this song,
mm-hmm.
Which is brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, just really good.
Thank
I was just really good, like, writing and just strong. At first, I kind of took it offensively. Sometimes I'll see someone that has more talent and is much better than I was in that at that age, or even now, and I'll find their talent to actually be an attack on my career. But I didn't really feel that bad after a little while of listening to your music.
Oh, well, that's good.
I had this band that I was super into for a long time. I got to open for them. They weren't very nice to me, but I still am a huge fan. Do you listen to the Innocence Mission?
I do. I love
your voice. Reminds me of hers a lot.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, I love the Innocence Mission. Oh, that's sad that they weren't very nice. I hate it when that
this
happens.
Is what happened. I got this gig to go down there to Houston and open for them. The song Bright as Yellow?
Mm-hmm.
When that album came out, so it was like mid-90s or 96 or something like that. So they somebody I knew was putting that show on, promoted that show, and got me on it. And when we showed up, I used to have a big Marshall amplifier, and I was bringing that in, and our bass player was bringing in his Ampeg 810 cabinet with a, you know, SVT head and this whole thing, and they went like, no, they can't have drums or... But they didn't do it. They kind of sent this dude over to do it, and then I could tell that when he went back, they asked him to stay there and make sure that we didn't, you know, mess with their gear or anything.
Yeah.
It was kind of uncool.
Yeah.
Because I was such a fan.
Right.
So
a lot of times, bands are very particular about their opener and about the setup and everything.
Yeah. I think I went there and opened for them for free because I wanted to meet them.
Right.
And then my band couldn't play, and so, you know, it was stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you do like them. That's good.
Oh, yes,
your voice reminds
like
me a lot of hers,
well,
and a lot of same sort of melodic sensibilities and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next? That record comes out June 19th.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm off of school for, you know, a year, and
yeah.
I mean, and I obviously will be touring after that. You know, I'll make do with the school however I can, but right now it's about touring the album. And we've got lots of, mapping out some tours right now. This summer, I'm doing some, like, one-off touring. Like, I'm going to D.C. and then Colorado. And then in July, I'm going to Finland. And so doing, like, some, and then a lot of Texas stuff. And not touring in August because I'm getting my wisdom teeth removed.
Oh.
And I have to be, you know, put up for a while. But then starting in September, we're going to be doing a lot of, like, spending a lot of time in major cities. Like, we'll be in L.A. for about 3 weeks, and then we'll be in Nashville for a week or two, and then in New York for a week or two.
Like, kind of playing and hanging out.
Just being there, because we have a lot of people, you know, that we can stay with, so we're not paying for a hotel, but just to be there and be around the music business and do a lot of writing in Nashville
other songwriters,
right? Exactly. And then, you know, kind of just being there and gathering attention and having that new album. And then also we'll be doing some, like, longer tours. I think we're working on an East Coast tour right now towards the end of the year. So some things like that. And then,
are these tours on your own, or are you going out with other people? I mean, I know is it you by yourself playing on stage, or your band, or?
It's some of them, like, it varies. Like, going to D.C. and Colorado, I'll be solo. But then when we're doing the longer tours, it'll be probably at least, I've been doing a lot of shows just with my guitar player as kind of a duo, almost like a Civil Wars-esque kind of vibe.
Right, right.
And we actually, a lot of people have seemed to even prefer just the two of us to a big kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we do some duo, and probably some touring will be that, but then I'll also go out on some of these tours with, you know, a four-piece or a bigger band. So it varies depending on the money and the tour.
Right.
But
yeah.
I perform in all different kind of, you know, formats.
Right. So, so what else? Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Let's talk about the really important thing here.
Okay.
My look today.
Okay.
Do you think that this tan on tan is just not happening? It's not happening, is it?
No, I like it.
Is it cool?
I like it.
You
it's
sure?
cool. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure?
I like the jewelry and the, yeah, no, I like it.
Okay. So now we've covered that. So your mom travels with you everywhere. So
mm-hmm.
she handles the business. That's who I talked to set up this interview.
Mm-hmm. I've had,
Is that weird? Like, do you ever, like, she ever falls short of stuff and you're like yell
no.
at your manager kind of person?
Not at all. In fact,
she seems very thorough.
She
gets back in a time because she's very kind in her emails.
Mm-hmm. It's
made me some tea.
Yes, she's very good about that. You know, I've worked with a lot of different people, and right now I have a booking agent, and I have a publicist, and I have an entertainment lawyer.
Who's your lawyer?
Ken Abdo out of Minneapolis.
I don't know him.
He's been with me since I was 9.
That's so
he's
sweet.
He's amazing. He's one of the best in the business. He was Prince's lawyer for a while. Johnny Lang, Owl City, Michelle Branch, like a lot of different really cool artists.
That's
he's
the
amazing.
I've had the same lawyer for a long time, since 1994.
Nice.
But that's the only person you can really trust. Everyone, I mean, you got your mom.
Right, exactly.
But
well, you find certain people in your team.
That's the only person.
Really?
Everyone else is expendable. Mm. That's the only guy that's got a, like, at a label. I haven't. No, that's not right, Ruby Jane. I was signed to a major label for a while at the end of, it was a subsidiary of Elektra that was owned by Lars Ulrich from Metallica, and those people were always encouraging us, like, oh, you should get with this lawyer that's more of a guy that plays the game. When really, you know, that's your manager should be someone that's out there playing golf with these record guys. The lawyer guy, you want to be able to yell at them and threaten them without going like, oh, I don't want to burn this bridge because this guy at Elektra is my, I golf with the vice president of Elektra, so I'm going to, you know,
right.
I'm going to take his side over silly little Johnny, you know, from Austin's side.
Mm-hmm.
My guy's always on my side. And
right.
if your guy's been with you since you're 9, he's going to always be on your side.
He is. And
no matter what.
He's like, you know, he's gotten, you know, right, a lot of people are, you know, replaceable, you'll
yeah.
find. And I have been so naive before, thinking, oh, this will be my team forever.
Well, of course, I still
like,
think
no.
that stuff. And I'm 43. Like,
right.
I will still get in a thing and be like, oh, this is going to be it forever.
This
and you're
is
like,
it.
No.
Right.
It's just this guy, Wofford.
Right.
It's the only guy I can talk to.
Right. Well, you know, and it's just how the business is. But when you find people that you can really trust, like I obviously trust my mom and then
that's
Ken.
That's really good.
Right. Yes. And Ken, he's just, I call him Kenny, but he's been with us for so long. And he's like an uncle, you know, and he always has my back, which is great.
That's the thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we've been through lots of different, you know, my mom hasn't always been my manager. We've gone
so
through.
So you've gone through some different.
Multiple
tell me about that.
Managers.
I mean, you don't have to name names or anything, but were they kind of like shysters and like. People that talked a big game and couldn't really follow up on stuff or like
not necessarily
whoa,
every
sorry.
Time I've actually been one of my earlier I had an earlier manager that wasn't great. I'll just say I'm not going to go into anything too
it's
much
pretty good though.
But just it was a lot of talk, you know.
Yeah.
And then,
but a lot of times it's not ill-meaning when they do that. They think
right.
they can, you know,
exactly.
even if they're just full of it. You
exactly.
know?
And I haven't really had any really bad people
right.
that
That's
I've
good.
Ever worked with. I've had a couple of different, actually Ray Benson managed me for a while when I was here. And I love Ray and I love him to death. And it just didn't work out. But no hard feelings or
yeah,
anything,
no.
you know.
You guys...
And then I was also managed by, most recently, by C3, who puts on ACL
oh, yeah, yeah,
and
course,
Lollapalooza and all that for a while.
Like,
and they
was
were
it George
the,
Corey or something?
No, it was actually Amy Corbin. Yeah, and she's great. I love Amy. But it just didn't, they, you know, it just wasn't, they had a lot on their plate and it just wasn't a great fit, you know, for right now. So it's not, I've never really had any really bad experiences with people. But, you know, as any business goes, it's, you know, in and out and in and out. But my mom has just, she's always kind of been there helping out, and she does just an amazing job. I mean, you know, she works harder than anyone I've ever worked with, you know, because she loves me so much and because she cares so much about what I do.
Right.
And she's, like you were saying, she's extremely thorough. And so, you know, my mom probably won't manage me for the rest of my life, but just having her there with me to be a guide and just to work hard and help me, you know, I'm obviously very appreciative of that.
Yeah, and she's obviously been driving you to gigs and this, you know.
Exactly.
Forever.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I couldn't, I definitely couldn't do this without her help. So.
Does she go to, like, rehearsals or anything, or no?
No, you just I mean, the music is all, no, actually.
You don't drive?
I have my permit. I was really, really late getting it, and I can, I'll get my license in August, so I, you know, I have my permit now, so I can drive, but I can't drive, you know, on my own. But she, you know, she'll drop, she's like my, she can be my chauffeur sometimes, or a band member will pick me up or something.
And but she'll drop you off at, like, rehearsal and then, like, go to Barnes & Noble or something and read for a couple of hours. And
yeah, or she'll, you know, have her computer, and she's always working, which I appreciate. But it's great because she's always helping me and working, but she's never been one of those moms that is like,
Stage mom.
Is what you can, you need to play, or you need to do this.
Yeah.
You know, the music
stand up
was
straight.
Right, exactly. The music was always just every, it was always me, you know, and whatever I wanted to do and direction I wanted to go in, it was my thing. So, I, you know, I appreciate
so you're happy?
That. Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Good. Good.
Definitely.
I love your video for this song that you made. You made that yourself, right?
Yes.
Okay. You walked around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was, it's fun. It was kind of quirky, you know. I want all my videos to be a little bit different.
The one you did with Todd is really great.
Mm-hmm. And that's,
there, I said it, Todd.
That's a little, that one's a little bit more, you know, softer and gentler and like ethereal, you know.
Yeah.
And then this one is a little more quirky.
It goes with the song because
right.
there's a quirkiness to that song. And
exactly. And then we're going to be putting out another video the day the album comes out, June 19th. And that'll be a video for The Innocence, which is the first song on the album.
Right.
And it'll be a little bit more serious. And then I'm looking to do another video of one of the songs on the album. And that video will be done with kind of a bigger director and done a little bit more like...
You know
I'm
the
looking,
director already?
No. Yeah. Well, yes, but I'm not going to say the name yet in case anything happens. But he is going to help me work out this the song Empire of Emptiness, and that I'm looking towards a little bit after the album comes out. I'm looking toward to like cast some people to play some roles. That'll be like filmed a little bit more like a movie kind of looking. So I wanted all the videos to be a little bit different, you know, and have like a little bit something different to offer.
Are you tired of talking about the carjacking?
No, we can talk about it.
What happened?
What
happened? You think I was serious? I got like Arsenio. Oh, that's even from before you were born. But like, hey, you know, asking, I'm a serious journalist. You tired of talking about that carjacking? How do you feel? Okay, so talk to me, Ruby. What happened? You guys were in Houston.
Mm-hmm. We were in Houston back in December. I just played a show right outside of Houston, and we were driving in to stay at a friend's condo. She was in New York at the time, so no one was there, except for, you know, other people in the condo complex. But we were driving in. It was like midnight in supposedly a kind of safe part of Houston, like near the Galleria.
I'm staying there tomorrow night.
Oh, really? Well, just be careful would be my advice, because Houston is a dangerous place. But
so talk to me. Yeah, sorry.
So we were, you know, we were driving in. Just it was just the two of us. I just played a solo show. I didn't have, you know, I didn't have any other band members in the car.
Right.
It would probably gone very differently if any like men were in the car, you know. But we were, you know, pulling up to like key in the gate code to get into the condo complex, and like we had been sitting there for like 5 minutes because we couldn't figure out the code, which looking back was probably not a wise idea,
right,
especially in Houston. But we thought we were in a safe area,
right.
And so then, you know, a guy just comes up, like, behind the car. My mom, like, has the door open trying to figure out the gate code, and he just comes up with a gun and says, you know, get out of the car. And so, you know, we both obviously get out of the car, and my mom, like, I'm pretty calm in general, and you know, you don't know how you'll react to a situation.
You never do until you're in that situation.
Right, but I was actually pretty calm. And I wasn't screaming or anything, but looking back on it, I'm really glad my mom was. She was freaking out and screaming. She was making a lot of noise, you know. And so he, like, had her take off all of her jewelry, and, you know, and so she was trying to, like, get in the car to get her purse. Anyway, she was freaking out. And so he actually tried to get me to get back in the car with him before he drove off. And so then as soon as he did that, she, you know, starts going absolutely ballistic and making a lot of noise. And I think he was pretty young. He seemed to be, it's difficult to remember because it was so dark, but he looked about maybe 19 or 20. He was pretty young. And so he, you know, we think maybe it was like a gang initiation or something, because a lot of times they have people carjackers. Sometimes gang initiation is you have to go out and shoot somebody, you know. But he, once she was freaking out, he started getting freaked out. So he just jumps in the car and drives away, you know. And at that point, you know, we had to run, find a place that was like, had just closed, and like banged on the door and they let us in. So we didn't have any phones or anything, so we had to call, you know, the police and figure everything out. But it was very scary. But it took me a long time to kind of process, you know, what had happened. Even that night, it didn't really affect me. I didn't really even realize what had happened. I was just kind of in shock and just trying to figure out the situation, you know. And only like maybe 2 months after it happened, it really like set in what had happened. And then I had to like emotionally, you know, go through that process. Yeah. But it took me a really long time. You know, everyone deals with those situations differently, but yeah. Yeah, it was definitely scary, but I think in the end it was a good thing, because, you know, it gives you a lot of perspective on life and, you know, yeah, how fast. I mean, we weren't thinking about it or anything, and then, you know, if he had changed.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And if he had been maybe older or an actual, like, gang member, or, you know, he could have shot us both, yeah, you know. Yeah. We were just lucky that wasn't the situation, but, yeah, it gives you perspective, definitely.
Yeah. So you're doing all right now?
Oh, yeah.
You lock your doors and roll up your windows and you drive?
Yes. Well, I mean, I've always been super, like,
it's just you and your mom, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's all, you know, I'm always, like, one of those people that every time I close the door, I lock it. I've always been like that.
Right.
I'm not paranoid, but I'm just very aware.
Yeah.
But especially since then,
call it diligent.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which you have to be, because, I mean, luckily.
Not diligent. Vigilant.
Well, luckily, Austin isn't too unsafe. You know, luckily, we have a pretty, pretty good city, but you still have to be careful.
Still have to be careful.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're doing good now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Well, are you guys, when you go out on tour, are you going in the RV?
We're trying to, we haven't yet, actually, since we've been here. A lot of times we go in a car or a van.
Seems like it would just be easier to go in the car.
Yes, but if we have more
people. Is that the car that got carjacked?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. And they found it a few days after. They found it
a few
days.
But you lost a couple of instruments.
I lost everything except they found my guitar. So I lost fiddle, mandolin, chords, pedals.
Did you get it back by now? Did they people? I mean, like, not those specific ones, but did you get instruments back? And maybe
they had a couple of benefits for me, thankfully.
Nice.
And so we were able to replace chords.
Ray Benson and Willie Nelson didn't go out and like buy you a new fiddle or something.
No, but they did have a friend of ours actually did put on a benefit at Antone's. Asleep at the Wheel played. Bob Schneider played.
I would have played.
Oh, really? Well, I didn't know about your band, so.
Yeah, no one does. That's why people don't have me play their benefits. I'm joking.
Well, you know, it was more of a volunteer thing anyway.
Right.
Everyone, it was so sweet. Everyone just stepped up and, you know, Sleep at the Wheel said they'd play. Bob Schneider said he'd play. Cowboy and Indian played.
Love them.
Blues band, you know, the Peacemakers, Willie Pipkin, Corey Keller. It's like a local kind of blues, Mike Keller blues band. So they came and they played, and it was fun.
Well, good. Well, so everyone, how did they find you on the, it's rubyjane.org.
Mm-hmm.
RubyJane.org. Right.
And they can find me on Facebook. And
find you on Twitter. I follow you on Twitter.
Okay, cool. Twitter, MySpace.
MySpace.
Yeah, I know. It's no like one a wasteland really of
advertisement.
Anymore.
Lost
well,
advertisement.
If anyone
hey,
does
come see my
it.
Show.
Yeah.
Wednesday, 1982.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. Well, you know, it's there if anyone wants yeah. to check it out. And I have a Reverb Nation page.
Yeah, that's...
And all kinds
Do
of
you
stuff.
Like the Reverb Nation? Mm-hmm. I'm on there as well. I like it.
Definitely. I mean, it seems to work well, and it's just interesting to check out different bands from there.
I should have done this thing that I've done on my last... I did Nakia yesterday and the Electric Touch guys the day before, and I wrote a thing on Twitter that they retweeted to ask their fans to ask questions, but I forgot to do that. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
It's working out really well, though.
Interesting. I love Nakia.
I love Nakia, too. What a lovely guy.
He's a very sweet guy,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, Ruby, your album is called... Celebrity.
Yes.
Is it Celebrity Empire of Emptiness, or is that just the song?
Well, technically they're both.
Okay.
It's either, technically the full title is Celebrity Empire of Emptiness, because it's both, it's what's the name of the song, and that's on the cover
right.
and everything, but I've just been calling it Celebrity.
And if people can go, that you've got two videos already done for the record, so
right.
people can hear a couple of songs from it.
Right, and then June 19th is when it comes out, and another video will come out that day as well. And please tell people June 21st is the album release party at Stubbs.
At Stubbs here in Austin.
Stubbs, so okay. that'll be really,
and then
really
also,
fun.
Like, we're all over the place, so, I mean, you said you're going to Finland, you said? Or
yes, Finland. July, like, 13th, 14th.
I think I have some people from Finland that listen to this.
Oh, really? Well, I'll be at the Rauma, I don't know if that's how you spell it, RAUMA festival.
Okay.
And
you're going to be doing some festivals. Basically, if they just go to rubyjane.org, you'll be able to find out. But the 21st is your, what day of the week is that? That's a Thursday?
I think it's a Thursday, because Tuesday is when the album comes out.
Hopefully I can come to that.
So. Oh, yeah, please do. It'll be fun. There's a really cool new kind of indie opening band that's going to play. And then my band will be, it'll be a big band with, you know, backup singers and
pianos. Oh, really?
Pianos.
You guys already start rehearsing for it and stuff?
Everyone that was on the album pretty
much.
Oh, is
coming to play the thing.
Yeah, so it'll be real fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ruby Jane.
Yeah,
is there anything I forgot? I feel like I'm forgetting something. Am I forgetting something?
I don't think so.
No?
I think we covered a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. The album really is the only... I mean, we covered that, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you happy that Miley Cyrus got engaged?
Oh, I just heard about that yesterday. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if
how
I really
she?
Have an opinion.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
just like...
Oh, sorry.
No.
I'm busy.
Like, you would waste your time with boys. So really, like, you don't have a crush on anyone right now? You're not like, oh, my goodness, that Joe Jonas.
Oh,
I don't, I mean,
no.
I don't even know. I'm just naming a name.
No. No, I'm not gonna go into that. But
No, we're not gonna have one of those conversations from 17 magazine.
No. I don't. Yeah, no. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, Miley Cyrus. No, I don't know. I don't know how I feel. She's what is she like? 22 or 23 now?
I thought she was eternally
14.
Her
fiance is cute though.
There you go. All right.
There you go.
Well, you heard it here first.
Well, he's taken, though, so.
Right, but at least, you know. At least we know, you know, that's something, you know, you like it. You like something.
I do.
Ruby Jane, thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you.
And everyone go get her album, Celebrity.
Yes.
Empire of Emptiness.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. Ruby Jane. Her record comes out on Tuesday, Celebrity. Be sure you get it, pick it up, look for it, go see her play. She's awesome. She's a really nice person, huh? She's going to be on tour all summer and should be fun. For her, thank you, Ruby Jane, for being on the show, and thank you to Ruby's mom, Jo Bell, for having me on, over and making the iced tea. Hey, you guys, don't forget, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes, drop us a line, you know? Drop us a line. You can write me on Twitter. At Johnny Gowdy. You can follow me on Twitter. You can find out when shows are coming out. You can also find out things that bother me, things I like, and things I see when I go running. All right? So remember that. And subscribe on iTunes. Don't forget about that. What's going on? Uh-oh. My Uncle Jack is calling. Oh, no. Uh-oh. That means I have to go. Here's some more Ruby Jane. Bye-bye. Thank you.
be that sister. It's hard to take your time. The innocents are shouting, listen. But it makes no difference what they cry. And I know you don't wanna go home. Sometimes we just wanna be alone. I shall imagine my hope is not in vain. I'm caught between wash away your fears.